Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Center of Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time, as always, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Good show lined up tonight. Dave Briggs, Toledo Blade columnist, will join us tonight at about 5:15. We're going to talk about just about every conceivable subject with Dave Briggs at 5:15. All-Star break, by the way, tonight and Wednesday night, the only two nights of the year that there are no professional sports. Of course, that includes the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. Again, tonight and on Wednesday night. So we're going to kind of just do a mid-season, I guess, grade card and some thoughts from Dave Briggs. Fine, and I mean fine. Listen, this guy filled in for a legend in Dave Hackenberg, and I enjoy reading Dave Briggs every time his column comes out in the Blade. In fact, today's column was great. Best college football games of the year. Plus, he did a little something with South Point Casino out in Las Vegas. Talked about the over-unders for the Rockets, Bowling Green, Ohio State. Enjoyed that as well. I thought his article this week on Al Avila, basically what he has not done for the Detroit Tigers, proving grounds for him right now, Avila, and the Detroit Tigers, you know, getting back into the good graces of the Tiger fans. I think it's going to be a while. I've always said this. Tigers in 2006 went to the World Series. Been a good run. That's 11 years of good baseball. But those days are over. How much can he get in return for the likes of Ian Kinsler, of Justin Wilson? Even Iglesias' name has been, you know, tossed around a little bit as well. And, of course, J.D. Martinez. We'll touch on a little bit of that as well. Pistons have been busy. They sign a free agent, of course, in Langston Galloway and also Avery Bradley coming over from the Boston Celtics. Rod Beard will join us at 5:35 tonight. Home run derby tonight, Major League Baseball. You know, the odds out on that. Everybody's got Stanton, of course, and Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has got 30 home runs. So that, I mean, that's a huge number. But think of this. He broke the record, the rookie record for the New York Yankees for who? Joe DiMaggio. That says it all. Aaron Judge with 30. Other great young talent, Cody Bellinger, of course. Sano, Moustakas, and Stanton. Blackman should be an entertaining night for the home run derby. Indians-Tigers last night. Tigers have one legitimate guy right now that you know is not going anywhere, and that's Michael Fulmer, who won his ninth game last night. And, of course, he beat Corey Kluber. I got to tell you, what a pitching matchup that was. Things at least end on a positive note for the Tigers. We're going to talk to Dave Briggs about the Indians and their chances of holding on and winning the Central. I think that's a pretty good bet. Other things at this All-Star break that are really surprising. Speaking of the Indians, the team that beat them last year in that classic World Series, Chicago Cubs,
two games under 500. Still rumored that Justin Verlander might be on his way there. Teams that are hot, Houston looks great in the American League. L.A., the Dodgers, in their last 30, they've won 26, and they have lost four games. A quick reminder, Toledo's ESPN 106.5, the ticket, will have complete coverage of the 2017 LPGA Marathon Classic from Highland Meadows coming up on the 17th to the 23rd. I will be out there all week from 5 to 6. Bob France in the afternoon extravaganza will be live Thursday and Friday, 3 to 5. Mike Jamison and the Great Lakes Golf Today will be live Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon. Cheap Seats with Mick Gonzalez will be live on Sunday morning. Kush will have the updates from Highland Meadows on both Saturday and on Sunday. Get complete coverage of the Marathon Classic right here on Toledo's ESPN 106.5. The ticket, I'll be doing a special show Thursday night from the Volunteers meeting. That's when everybody gets together, learns their assignments. Judge Silverman will be there. We'll talk to him about the tournament again coming up starting on the 17th. We will be out at Highland Meadows with Drive Time, and we understand that our good friends at Monroe Golf and Country Club will be sponsoring that along with the great folks at Sakura Japanese Steakhouse and Sushi Lounge. So the July clearance of sales event continues right here at Monroe Dodge. Friday, by the way, Saturday's at Rocking the Hills Festival, Craft Beer Festival up at Manitou Beach Village. Friday, I'll be at Woodstock Wine and Cheese talking about that event coming up on the weekend. So we're on the road Thursday and Friday. We're here at the Superstore tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Right around the corner, Drive Time marches on. On the Vito's Pizza phone line, we'll be joined by Dave Briggs. This is Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
It's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. As always, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Rod Beard, Detroit News, coming up at 5:35. Talk a little Pistons basketball, as I mentioned. Langston Galloway signed as a free agent. Avery Bradley coming over from the Boston Celtics. Big pile-up of guards there for the Detroit Pistons. Again, we'll be talking to Rod Beard. Well, about all NBA subjects coming up at 5:35 tonight. Joining us now, Dave Briggs, columnist of the Toledo Blade. Have enjoyed your work lately, Dave. I love those over-unders in college football, number one. And number two, loved your story on Al Avila. Really, time to shine here a little bit. His best signing, in my opinion, has been his son. Thanks for coming on, David.
Great to be on, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, very good. Am I allowed to mention what you were supposed to be doing today? A preview,
oh,
or
sure.
Are you keeping that a secret?
No, nothing, not under wraps at all. We'll be
I ended up texting Dave Briggs today, and a man with a work ethic like his, and he told me about an hour after my first text that I am just waking up. And I said, you know, the life of a sports writer, must have been in Cleveland last night, late deadline, whatever, so on and so forth. I hung around with this ilk for a lot of years. I know their hours, believe me. He said that wasn't the case. He was supposed to play 72 holes in one day out at Highland Meadows along with Kyle Rowland and do a story on it. And anybody that spent any time in Toledo today knows that was virtually impossible with the rain we had today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We were trying to play off the Marathon Classic. We decided, you know, what if myself and Kyle, our golf writer, decided to play, you know, the ultra marathon day of golf, playing the entire tournament in one day, walking, and just kind of put together a interesting or quirky, fun, light account of our round. So we'll see how that goes, but it's planning to tee off at about 5:20, 5:30 tomorrow, whenever it gets light, and see how much we can plow through.
I gotta tell you right now. Now listen, I'm gonna stand up here for the old guys. There isn't a chance that I could walk 72 holes in one day and be upright the next day. Would never happen. Are you carrying your own bags?
No, I think we are carrying our own bags, but I think. Probably on a cart. That'll be the only concession. But the players don't have to carry. The players aren't carrying their bags either, so I don't feel like we're cheating.
No, I get it. No, very, very good. Now, I'm sure you and Kyle Rowland have a little side wager there. Maybe most birdies on the day, something along that line, I hope, anyways. I think that would be another sidebar as well. Well, good luck. We'll be watching for that one as well.
Yeah,
go ahead.
He'll win that one. My score will be off the record.
Well, that's an off-the-record score. Okay, we understand that. And listen, great concept. We'll be reading that one. All right, as I texted you this morning and said, listen, I want to talk about a plethora of things, only because Dave Briggs, it's the All-Star break, and today and Wednesday, the only 2 days of the year, there are no major league sports in action. Of course, that includes Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, and the NFL. So I wanted to kind of get a rundown and some thoughts here on the Vito's Pizza phone line of what you've been thinking. Number one, let's start tonight. Do you have a favorite in the Home Run Derby?
No, I can't say I do, but I saw, what is it, Stanton and Judge or Stanton and Aaron Judge on opposite sides for that Dream Finals matchup they're looking at. Yeah, I don't know. If I was going to look at anybody, I guess it would have to be Aaron Judge. But, I can't say I've paid too much attention to handicapping the Home Run Derby, but it's always fun.
No, I haven't either, except that I'm going to have a big $3 wager here with one of the sales associates at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. And how we're going to do that, it's a whole $3. We're each going to pick four guys. And if guys on the opposite side go head-to-head, we're going to go a dollar difference, I think, on the home runs. But the reason this was intriguing to me, Aaron Judge with 30 home runs, and that beats whose record, of course, for a Yankee rookie? Joe DiMaggio. The only thing he wasn't doing was dating Marilyn Monroe. So that's that stands out, of course, for me in the Home Run Derby tonight. I guess the next thing I wanted to get here as well, do you think the Cleveland Indians will finish on top in the Central?
Oh, I can't imagine. Sorry. I was so stunned by the question, I'm speechless. No, I'm kidding. But, you would have to think. I mean, they're talent all the way around. You'd like to see them go out and get a solid number three starter at the deadline. But outside of that, I mean, still got probably the best bullpen in baseball, a lineup that you would think will find its level, still a very good lineup. And Carrasco and Kluber at the top of that rotation, you would expect, especially with a fairly light schedule coming out of the All-Star break, that they begin to pull away here. I know Minnesota and Kansas City are kind of hanging around and being pesky there, but I have to imagine, if I'm picking it today, I still think the Indians win by double digits.
No, I do too, but I thought we might find something surprising there. No surprise in that one. I agree 100%. Tell me two clubs, one from the American League, Dave Briggs, and one from the National League that you think the Indians might see down the road in the playoffs. I'll put it this way. Top of the heap right now, best team in the American League, best team in the National League.
Well, I think the best team in the National League has to be the Dodgers. I mean, they've had some great teams over these past few years, but this may finally be the year that they're jinx proof. That's a tremendous lineup. Kershaw at the top of the rotation. I know he's had his playoff, hasn't been quite the dominant guy they've always wanted in the playoffs, but that's just a very complete team in all three phases. And then, in the American League, I mean, I guess, so far, I mean, you have to go with the Astros. I mean, the Dodgers and Astros are having historic first halves of the season. It's been pretty unbelievable. It's almost like they're playing a different sport at times. But it's the one thing that is interesting, while the Indians are, something like, 3-12 and against the National League and have had some big-time struggles with some bad teams, they have dominated the Astros this year, so that's just kind of one of the quirks of baseball. It's funny, after they lost their first two games to the Padres last week, including a shutout, everybody's like, that's embarrassing, and, the Indians just aren't that good, and it's like, it's just, you can never say that. I mean, if the Cavs lose to the Sixers in basketball, yeah, that's embarrassing, but there's never, if you're putting the effort in, never an embarrassing loss in a game like baseball where it can just so the whims are just so funny that way. But yeah, if you had to pick the two best teams in the first half, it has to be the Astros and the Dodgers.
No, I couldn't agree more. I have those two written down. In fact, the Dodgers in their last 30 have won 26, and they've lost four, so they're going into the All-Star break absolutely red hot. On the 31st of July at 4 o'clock, you wrote on this in your Alavila story again. Dave Briggs, columnist Toledo Blade, joins us here on the Vito's Pizza phone line. By the way, ingredients you can trust. Who won't be with the Tigers in your eyes on the, let's say this, on the 1st of August?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think ideally about a dozen guys wouldn't be with them, but that's not realistic given the trade market and some of those contracts. But I think you have to start with, you know, J.D. Martinez, a nice slugger in the last year of his contract. He's a guy who will be very attractive. I think very likely he gets moved. Justin Wilson, probably their most attractive trade chip, powerful left-hander who's, and that's the funny thing, you know, we've been waiting all these years for the Tigers to have a good closer, and they finally get one, and now he's going to be gone in a couple of weeks, you would think. But he's under control for a couple more years. You'd think he's a guy who can really get a lot in return. Not quite an Andrew Miller haul, but very attractive guy for a team like the Dodgers or Astros or, you know, someone in contention there. So very likely he gets moved. Alex Avila, that's, like you said, probably the one signing to Al Avila's credit. He should be able to be moved here. Then you kind of go down the line, you know, Ian Kinsler, you'd like to move him if you can, although he certainly, hasn't produced too well. Iglesias, Verlander, if you could somehow get move Upton. I mean, I just keep on going down the line here. The one interesting thing is Anibal Sanchez pitched well enough to where maybe somebody would take a chance on him if the Tigers ate a nice portion of his contract. But you keep going down the line and down the line, and you know, you'd like to trade 9 or 10 guys and really not go halfway into this huge teardown and rebuild that this franchise needs. But I would guess maybe 4, 5, 6 players are gone.
Well, you know what, and I've told people, you mentioned Kinsler's a good example. You got to root for guys like Ian Kinsler right now. You want him to do well because
right. All
of a sudden the bounty and the booty coming back your way is larger. So you're rooting
same
for the Tigers.
Right? You're hoping,
same with Verlander. He had a good start the other night, which was great for Tiger fans. I mean, I look at guys like Ramirez in Cleveland. I look how fast the Yankees have turned things around. This is a very important stretch for the Detroit Tigers. Marathon Classic, we just talked about it, Dave Briggs. How about this, Lydia Ko, who is slumped, and Stacy Lewis. Do they have a chance next week?
Yeah, oh, sure. No, absolutely. Lydia Ko is... She's really struggled over the last year since winning the Marathon Classic, incidentally, but... You know, she's still, it's kind of a victim of her own success and her standard. She's still, you know, a top 20 player. Stacy Lewis is, you know, still right in the mix there. And this is a really good field. That's one of my stories for the preview section. If this was just like a blind taste test and a golfer was picking their schedule solely on the dates of the tournament, the Marathon Classic would probably be the one week that you for sure skip. About the 10th of 12 weeks of consecutive tournaments. It's right after the U.S. Open and right before the British Open. Obviously, in the men's game, that would be pretty much a for-sure no-go. But as a great credit to the Marathon Classic and the reputation they've built among the players and then the stature and reputation on the LPGA Tour, they're getting a fantastic field. You know, pretty much everybody you would want as a fan. The star power is there. You know, Lexi Thompson is the most popular player on the tour. Her profile has only grown since kind of the grace she handled that rules fiasco with the armchair viewer calling in at the first major of the year. Brooke Henderson, the teenage phenom, like you said, Lydia Ko, Michelle Wee, Danielle Tang, who just won the PGA Championship. Just a bunch of big names. The only name people really will notice missing this year is Paula Creamer, who's always a fan favorite out there, but she's attending a family wedding and you know, plans to be back next year. So that's no fault of the marathon. But, yeah, it should be a really fun week out there and a great field.
No, and we have Judd on Thursday night. We're going to be doing an event from out there on Thursday. Great field, no doubt about it. I think the big sideline story here again is Lydia Coe and her struggles, of course. I mean, and what a sweetheart. Great interview, very gracious with her time, but she's fired a couple of coaches. I know Ledbetter's out. She's got rid of two or three caddies, so she's going to be
ten
interesting.
Caddies.
What's that?
I think she's gone through 10 caddies.
I mean, holy smokes. Unbelievable. Stacy yeah. Lewis, of course, the hometown favorite. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. Yeah, we will be busy out there next week talking about all of those things. Hey, you know, kind of, I guess, turn around here a little bit and head back to the Tigers organization, but not necessarily the Tigers. But, you know, it was the Hens. It was kind of their mantra this year to go to a more veteran-type team to bring a winner back to Toledo when it comes to the International League. That hasn't worked out. Now, that being said, they played pretty well as of late. We talk about young prospects. They don't have a ton of those guys, if any, down in Toledo right now. Got a few in the pitching staff down in Erie. Any thoughts here at the All-Star break on the Hens and the Tigers minor league system?
No, I mean, that's going to be the big thing that obviously needs to be addressed over these next few weeks. It's still a bottom five, bottom six farm system in baseball, and that's what really needs to be replenished as we go forward here and you start to trade these veteran assets. The Mudhens were really interesting and puzzling, but also I guess you have to admire the Tigers for wanting to win in AAA this year, but they gave the Mudhens, a team that was even older than the Tigers, you know, just a lot of good Brendan Ryan, Omar Infante, just a bunch of guys that were, you know, in the major or in their prime, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. So it was a very interesting team. They went very veteran oriented. It didn't necessarily work out, although they have been playing very well lately with a team that starting to resemble the one they thought they were going to get coming out of spring training, but. Yeah, it's still a very veteran team, and I don't know if that's necessarily what fans want to see. I mean, me personally, I'm interested in, you know, seeing the prospects come through and more than winning necessarily, but it'll be really interesting over these next couple of weeks.
Dave, I got two more subjects I want to broach with you here. Number one, when is the next time another team besides the Golden State Warriors wins an NBA championship?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, maybe, well, the Durant just signed a 2-year deal, so, I'll say 2019. They'll eventually be trouble in paradise. You can't keep it rolling once the egos, the success get too big. But yeah, with the turmoil in Cleveland and just the general perception of dysfunction there, and certainly they haven't done anything to close the gap, so it's hard to see the Warriors not being the heavy favorite going into next year, but we'll see.
Well, listen, you're the former Ohio State beat writer for the Toledo Blade. Your buddy Kyle Rowland there, the guy you're going to walk 72 holes of golf with, of course, covers the University of Michigan. If Harbaugh loses to Ohio State this year to go to 0-3, are these loyal Harbaugh Michigan fans going to sour at all?
Yeah, no, I think you have to fire him if that happens. No, it will be interesting. No, I don't think they will begin to sour on him just because it is, I mean, by all reasonable standards, I mean, this should be a rebuilding year for them. It's only a credit to Harbaugh and the way he's recruited and the way he's kind of turned this program around that people have high expectations for them this year. I mean, they replaced 17 starters. If last year really was the year that I felt they had to beat Ohio State, not had to beat Ohio State, but that was the year they should have gotten them. Ohio State was the team in transition. Michigan had the very veteran team, the loaded defense. This year it'll be turned around, but no, I don't think the fans will be starting to grumble unless they have a 7-5, maybe even 8-4 season this year, but I have to put Ohio State as the very clear favorite in that game. So it would be unfair for me now to say if Harbaugh doesn't win it, he should start to face the heat. But Michigan's still very much on the right track. I mean, he's got this going toward an Alabama or an Ohio State where you're not going to have down years. You're just going to have years that are better than others. And we'll see if they're there yet, but they're certainly on that path.
All right, Dave, I know a number of agents in the hockey world that are pretty good at getting side deals for their players. I think after this extravaganza with you and Roland tomorrow, I probably, if you would have given me a heads up, got you a shoe deal from somebody on the 72 holes walking. But I wasn't given ample time to work on that. Good luck tomorrow. Say hi to Kyle, of course. We had a deal with him when he went over to Rome, which was great. And enjoy yourself, and we'll be talking soon. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate it.
That's Dave Briggs, columnist for the Toledo Blade. Again, he and Kyle Rowland are going to walk 72 holes tomorrow at Highland Meadows. Again, I'll read the story on that one. That would do me in for about a month, by the way. No chance of me ever finishing that one. Quick reminder, everybody, Thursday we'll be up around Devil's Lake, the Rockin' the Hills Craft Beer Festival, $30 at the door. Great live music, all sorts of stuff going on. That's at the Manitou Beach Village. I'll be up there Thursday talking to those folks. We'll do our regular show, as always, brought to you by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, where the July clearance sales event continues. These deals are hot. How about a 2017 Dodge Journey GT all-wheel drive? $149 a month. Certified pre-owned. Great selection there as well. Visit MonroeSuperstore.com. Thursday, again, we'll be doing a special on the Marathon Classic. Friday, we will be, of course, over at up in the Irish Hills doing a show from there as well. All right, everybody, TAS Electronics update with Cushland coming up. TAS Electronics, make your toys a summer rock. Boats, bikes, ATVs, TAS does them all. Stream your favorite digital audio direct from your smartphone. This is Drive Time. My name's Mike Miller. Briggs joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Ingredients you can trust. Back NBA basketball talk after this.
The cure for annoying traffic jams. It's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. As always, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Glad to have you on board. Talk with Toledo Blade columnist Dave Briggs in the first part of the show tonight. Touched on just about everything, the Detroit Tigers and the trade deadline, of course, to the National Basketball Association, to the Toledo Mud Hens, and what they're going to do down the road. They tried to build it with a veteran team this year. Didn't work. Touched on the University of Michigan football team. Talked about the Indians. Talked a little home run derby as well tonight. So touched on, again, everything with Dave Briggs. We will see him next week, by the way, out at the Marathon Classic, the LPGA event out at Highland Meadows. All of our guests, of course, here in Drive Time, joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust, and he's on the job at 3 o'clock today and joins us at about 5:40. Rod Beard, a Detroit News beat writer for the Pistons. Hello, Rod. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Good. Just was doing a little jogging and jotting down here a couple of names. What's Stan Van Gundy going to do with this plethora of guards between the newly acquired Avery Bradley, of course, from the Boston Celtics, free agent signing of Langston Galloway, who I know you just left his press conference as well. So the guards, the shooting guards and the point guards lining up in Detroit.
Yeah, and I think that's what Stan Van Gundy, the biggest takeaway from today is they just wanted to balance the roster a little bit more. They had so many forwards last year that they couldn't find playing time for Stanley Johnson, but now they've pushed that kind of balance back over to the guard position, and now they're stocked there with Luke Kennard in addition. They already had Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson. Now they feel a little bit better about their backcourt options.
Tell me, how's that going to work out when you talk Jackson and Bradley? And I want you to touch on Kennard. We understand this summer that he's played very, very well. How do you see this playing out? Who's the starters? Who fills what roles?
Well, I think it still remains that Reggie Jackson is the starting point guard. Avery Bradley is going to slide in at the two spot. But now you have better depth there. Last year the Pistons had Stanley Johnson as the reserve two playing a lot of those minutes. And he's not a prototypical shooter. He can play that position and guard that position, but he's not your big-time shooter. Luke Kennard shot 48% in summer league, and that's only a five-game sample size, but those are encouraging signs that he's able to step in and do that almost immediately. And then you have Langston Galloway as your third point guard behind Ish Smith, and your shooting guard in case you're not ready to step out just yet with Luke Kennard. So you've got some options there where they just didn't have as much of that last year with the likes of Darren Hilliard and Reggie Bullock and Stanley Johnson. Those aren't necessarily great shooting tandems, but now you've got guys who can run a lot of pick and roll for you, and you've got some step-out shooters too. Bradley shot 39% from three. Langston Galloway was somewhere around 36-37%. So now you've improved at that position with better ball handlers and better shooters, and I think that'll work better in Stan Van Gundy's offense.
Well, Rod Baird joins us here, Detroit News beat writer for the Pistons. No surprise, really, Rod. I mean, the Pistons, you know, end of the year, I believe it was 37-45 last year. So, I mean, I guess an off-season of moves, you know, was in the cards. I don't know to what extent you thought some of these things would happen. Tell me a little bit about that. Do you think this has been an aggressive off season? Do you expect more or any other transactions down the road?
Well, there might be some other ones, but I think the biggest thing was moving on from KCP because everyone thought that he'd get a max offer and the Pistons would almost be forced to match it, go into the luxury tax to do that, and really come back with pretty much the same roster they left with last year. But the deal, Marcus Morris for Avery Bradley, was an upgrade in a lot of ways that, for me, Avery Bradley does the same things that KCP did fairly well, but he does them better. He's a first-team all-defensive selection 2 years ago. He would have been that this past year had he not gotten injured. He's a better three-point shooter. I mentioned that 39%. And he's more of a veteran guy that can be a leader in that locker room. And that's something that I thought the Pistons were lacking a little bit last year, is a veteran guy who can stand up and get them moving in that right direction, be a rudder for a team with a bunch of young guys that are mostly under 30 years old. Now they have something in Bradley, a guy who's won a little bit with the Celtics, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract. So that's the biggest risk in all of this, is that next summer he'll be an unrestricted free agent, and he could demand that same type of money that KCP was looking for. So maybe they kick the can down the road a little bit, but they've done it with a better player, in my opinion.
Rod, I mean, you look at the Eastern Conference right now. Celtics aren't going any place. Cleveland, a little bit of a train wreck right now. I want to talk about that in a minute, but they're not going. Toronto's pretty darn good. Washington seems to be in an upswing. Hawks as well. Bucks getting a little bit better. Pacers, a team that's probably, I think they finished seventh or eighth. And, of course, then you got the Bulls, the Heats, and the Pistons. The Pistons in this offseason with an upswing, I'm guessing, in what they've done. I don't want you to, you know, go over every transaction, the teams that I just mentioned in the East, but because of what the Pistons have done and maybe some of the inactivity of the other teams, do you see this as a jump forward to make it into the top eight?
Yeah, I think they've got the opportunity to make a step forward without making very big changes at all. When you look at Jimmy Butler leaving Chicago and Paul George leaving Indiana and going west, the Pistons were right in that same area with those two teams, and you'd have to think they're maybe a little bit above that. They didn't take a step back with the moves that they've made, the Pistons. Now it looks like it's lateral at worst. So I think they can still be a playoff team. It's just a matter of how these new pieces will gel. They lost Aaron Baines already. They lost Darren Hilliard. So there are a few little changes on the bench now. Boban Marjanovic is going to have to step up and be a number two center instead of being a spot guy as the third center. I think they still have a good spot in the Eastern Conference without having to do too much. The Bucks are going to be a team to watch. You mentioned some of the other ones, but the Pistons should be right there as well.
And let's talk about Cleveland. Their general manager is out. Chauncey Billups was a guy that, by most reports, folks thought he got lowballed. Other people think there's a guy that hasn't spent one day in a front office. Character guy, good player, decent broadcaster, but what were the qualifications? Tell me your thoughts on, a Detroit guy, Dan Gilbert, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who a lot of people think will be chasing, well, everybody might be chasing Golden State for the next couple of years. What's going on in the city over the other side of Lake Erie?
Well, I think that was an interesting candidate for them, Chauncey Billups, because he has a relationship with Dan Gilbert, obviously, from his time in Detroit. But also he has a relationship with Ty Lue. And that's tough. Sometimes when you're trying to step in that position and you have a close friend that, and you're their boss, at some point you're going to have to fire your coach. I mean, most general managers know that that's what's coming. Unless you're a Popovich or one of the longtime guys in the league, you're going to have to fire that guy. And if you've got the friendship that's in the middle of it, it's going to be tough to do. And even though Chauncey didn't have the front office experience already, he was already highly regarded. He had interviewed for that, another position as a general manager as well. I believe it was with the Bucks. So his name is out there. He's a name that people respect, and they think that he's going to fit into one of those front office roles at some point in the next year or two. That just wasn't the one for him. And if you're Chauncey Billups, you got to be leery of it as well, because you've got LeBron there, and he's a de facto GM for that team anyway. He's going to have a lot of pull, and maybe even more pull with Dan Gilbert than you do as the president or the general manager. So that might not have been the right fit, but I think Chauncey will land somewhere within the next year or two.
I had to laugh. That's the next thing I had written down. Just name LeBron the general manager. You save a lot of
money. You've had player coaches. Make a player GM, too.
Hey, how about the Knicks? And I'll let you go. Hardaway signs there, of course. Phil Jackson's out. And, listen, I know Griffin, the GM at Cleveland, was over there. He opted out, wanted to kind of retool the staff. What's going on in New York? And, listen, I spent 10 years over there. They love their basketball. But that is a franchise in trouble.
What we used to think about the Sacramento Kings and the Clippers years ago, the Knicks might be just moving into that role of front office dysfunction, ownership dysfunction we've seen over the past few years. They can't get free agent acquisitions right. They overpaid Noah a couple of years ago, Derrick Rose the same sort of way, and now you're giving Tim Hardaway $71 million over 4 years. And folks around here know the name. He's a Michigan guy. And he was coveted in the free agent market, but maybe not to that degree, that the Knicks really fell in love with him. And he had already been there, for a little bit too before he went to Atlanta. So they're turning back the Wayback Machine and going to see Tim Hardaway again. It's just, none of the stuff makes sense. It seems like they would want to get off of the Carmelo Anthony contract as well. They haven't done that either. And to even think about dangling Kristaps Porzingis out there just tells you what type of situation that Knicks front office is in. And it's just not going to be any better before it gets worse.
Great stuff, Rod. Get back to work as always. We appreciate you coming on right after a press conference again with the Langston Galloway press conference today. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it. I'll give you a shout down the road.
Anytime. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
That's Rod Beard, Detroit News beat writer, talking a little NBA basketball here on Drive Time. Back to close it out after this.